All right, we're back. This is Frank Maloney with Jim Hoggood. You're listening to Who's Talking. We're back, and in a few minutes, we're going to have a nice interview with Dave Kane, the voice of the Cavaliers.
Well, we hope it'll be a nice interview. It'll be friendly, if not anything else.
If you don't throw rocks as usual. All right. A little piece of housekeeping, a little promotion here. The Who's versus Hokies food fight, which raises gifts and cash for the Central Virginia Food Bank, is coming up. It's a week-long food and fun drive. It's one of the 10 largest conducted for the food bank. It's been going on for a number of years now. Last year, UVA won the contest, and the contest actually helped yield 50,000 pounds of food for the Central Virginia Food Bank. So the Wahoos and the Hokies have both been very generous in this process, and my good friend, loyal Wahoo, Matt Shaver, has run this thing for several years. He's always done a great job, and we'll have more about this next week, but I just want to start getting this on the calendar. I think it starts next week. Let's see here. It starts February the 8th. So
well,
now you've got the details.
Well, you've given me information there with Virginia getting the victory last year, did you say?
Last year.
Normally, you don't want to get into a food fight with a school that teaches agriculture. So, I mean, I would think
pretty
the Hokies have a little advantage in that regard.
Pretty impressive, though. We did defeat them. And I think the last couple of years, we've defeated the Hokies. So, pretty amazing, since the UVA alumni base in Richmond is large, but it's not as big as Virginia Tech's alumni base.
I think the key must be it must be about the purchase of food, not the production of food.
Ah!
I think we have Dave Kane on the line. Do you want to introduce him for us?
All right.
Hang in there, Dave. We're getting to you here momentarily.
Dave, we're coming. We're coming. All right. Dave is now technically the director of broadcasting for Virginia Sports Properties. He's in his second season as the play-by-play voice for the Cavaliers. You've certainly by now you've heard him for UVA football games and UVA basketball games, and maybe even some baseball in there, too.
I know he did the College World Series last year. Did you do any lacrosse last year, Dave?
Hey, guys, I would be lost if I was doing lacrosse, unfortunately. I could make my way through the other three sports, but no, I was not involved with Dom and his team, but I did get a chance to ride that magic carpet ride in baseball for last year as well, so that was fun. But we got to get some wins going. This winning stuff's pretty fun.
Well, it sure does make your job, and I think our job, a whole lot more fun, doesn't it?
There's no question about it. I tell you, to have a nice positive story, I mean, it just, not to mention just people are more upbeat that you're covering, and there's just more storyline. You know, from just a broadcaster standpoint, a fan standpoint, everybody's happier when the team's winning, and unfortunately they have been of late. We'll see if we can get a big one tomorrow night.
Dave, we're going to come back to the Virginia Tech game here in a minute. I think a lot of our fans, particularly since signing day is right around the corner for the football commitments and so forth, Mike London has now been the head coach at UVA for about not quite 2 months. You've had a chance to bump into him. You've probably done some interviews and so forth. What are your impressions and any news or vibe from Charlottesville that you can share with our listeners?
You know, at this point, and to be completely honest, I've talked with Mike on a couple of occasions, but until signing day is through, I've really tried to stay out of his hair as much as I can, given the fact that he is as busy as he is. We had him on the show last week for our coaches show. He called in from the recruiting warpath, and we got a chance to visit with him a little bit at that point in time. And I've had a chance to talk with him off the record as well at points. But, you know, great guy, tremendous personality, and everything I've heard about him has proven to be true to this point. But, you know, I think the challenge always is for a new coach when you're talking about recruiting, you have that limited window of time that you're kind of behind the eight ball right out of the gates. And if you will, it's sort of like a mulligan should be issued. You know, amazingly, I think Tony Bennett and his staff managed to buck the trend and get a great recruiting class that first year, despite the fact that they didn't have that long standing relationship with a lot of these guys they've signed to this class. But, you know, you hope that Michael London can make a splash with his first class. I think we've seen some positive headway in that regard, but really before you can really measure him as a recruiter, I think you at least have to give him that full year to have contact with those guys. And certainly it seems he's making an effort to try and get quarterbacks involved, and rightfully so, given the shortage of quarterbacks and the dearth of good quality quarterbacks in that regard, at least in the system that we know about at this point. So I think that's important. And obviously the other key is, as we've heard, it's like an old record that's been played over and over. It's, you know, you got to win the state of Virginia again. And I think those are the two priorities, at least right now, for Mike, as he tries to get as many guys signed on the dotted line as he can going into next week.
Yeah, we're visiting with Dave Kane, the voice of the Hoos. And, Dave, my experience has been that everybody wants to be a sports broadcaster. I used to tease people, don't try this at home. But nevertheless, I think it would be interesting to our listeners. How do you prep for a game, i.e. the Hokie game tomorrow? And walk us through what your day will be like tomorrow on game day.
You know, it's funny. It's almost like with football, it serves as the same capacity only the day before. With football, I try to have everything I have done by Friday. So it's almost like you work a whole week. I mean, it is amazing how much goes into getting ready for a football game. I mean, you wouldn't believe the amount of time you put into it. You almost feel like you're silly sometimes doing as much as you are for a game. But, you know, obviously this is my job, and it's a job I love, and you want to do it to the best of your ability, and preparation's key. So, you know, for football, I think you start at the beginning of the week. I start Sunday. I'm learning names for football players, you know, that's the first thing I do. I put flashcards together. I'm learning names and numbers so I can spot them quickly. And then you're obviously working on your boards the rest of the week and, you know, putting information onto those spotting boards and your notes. You know, I guess I am a beast of preparation. Basketball, not quite as elaborate in terms of what goes into it, obviously, because you have more games and also you just have fewer players. I mean, by a long ways, you have far fewer players that you have to memorize. And so, you know, I'll typically, you know, do the same thing. I think it's even more important to memorize players in basketball than it is in football because it moves so quickly, but you don't have as many to memorize. So first thing I'll do is put together flashcards, and then I get online and I start working on just putting the basic spotting board together for myself in terms of, you know, all the pertinent information, statistics, their roster information, any notes that I'm able to glean from the game notes the school provides or from newspaper articles, from talking to coaches, just things you hear throughout the days leading up to that game. And you also look back to last year. Everything you can find that would be relevant and pertinent to that game that, you know, you can add an extra little element of insight into the broadcast you want to do. It's always amazing, too. You put so much into it, but you probably only use about 10% of it in the game. But that's just kind of the life of a broadcaster, I guess.
You have to be prepared, don't you?
Hey, absolutely. You know, just like you guys. You know, obviously you don't just go on and
we don't
the mic and just go to work.
Don't tell anybody, Dave.
We just walked in here at 5 minutes to six. No. Much
no,
preparation.
I don't believe it for a second. I don't buy it.
Dave, I got an email here. Actually, two people sent in similar emails, Bob and Ben. They want to know, what sport do you enjoy doing the play-by-play for, basketball or football? Which is your favorite?
You know, and I get this question a lot, and this is sort of the on-the-fence answer that maybe people don't want to hear, but you love them both for different reasons. They are both my favorite two sports to broadcast, but I think when you're talking about basketball, I love the up-tempo nature of the game, the fact that it moves fast, and it's clean, you know, it's in and out, and you're constantly moving. I like that part of it. I think it lends itself to my style of broadcasting. And then when it comes to football, the things I love about football are I love the build-up. I mean, I love how much every game matters and the intensity that goes with every football game. You know, it's probably the sport that I grew up watching more than anything was football. And, you know, you take that with you throughout your career, just your first baby, so to speak. And but at the same time, in terms of broadcasting, I think I like them both pretty close to equally, but for different reasons.
Let's go back to basketball for a moment. This year's team, disappointing performance and outcome down in Winston-Salem, but that notwithstanding, what's your assessment as to why this team is having more success this year?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons, and most notably, I think you're talking about the psychological element of the game. You know, I think that Tony and his staff have been very humble, and we expected so much from them. That's what we'd heard, but, I mean, what you see is what you get. There's no question. They are the real thing, the real article. I mean, it's not just lip service these guys are providing. They really believe the things that they're saying in terms of, you know, they don't want to take too much credit. I mean, there is some truth to the fact that these guys are a year older and a year more experienced than they were last year, and I think that makes a difference. But ultimately, I think one of the key ingredients for this team has been these guys have learned to play within the framework of a team, and I think they're learning their roles, and it's not just all about me, and it's about doing what I do best and helping my teammates get better, and you take on a different mentality. I mean, we've seen it in terms of the defense. I think there is a little bit more pride being taken, and I think when you watch Tony coach, when you watch him in practice, he's just a great teacher. I mean, he's a great teacher. You can see that he can connect with his players on a very real level. I don't think, like I say, it is genuine, and I think that's one of the things that's so refreshing about this new coach for this basketball program is the fact that he's a genuine human being, and it's not an act, and I don't think you see that very often in big-time sports these days. And so, you know, I think that the players can get a sense for that, and they buy in. And when you buy in and you have your players playing with your personality and playing for you, I think the sky's the limit.
Dave, that raises this question. You know, we've got this huge game tomorrow night, the first clash between Tony Bennett and Uncle Fester, Seth Greenberg, down there at Tech. Tech has had a marvelous season, and Seth gets a lot of should get a lot of credit for that. Virginia has been pretty hot in the last, 10 games. How do you see this game shaking out?
I think it's going to be a heck of a game. It's an important game, too. There's no question about it. You can hear it from talking to the coaches this week. They say, of course, it's a huge rivalry game, but, hey, just look at the standings. This is a big game. And, you know, from Virginia's standpoint, people can say, okay, hey, this is icing on the cake where there wasn't much expected of us. But I don't buy that. I think this game goes a long ways for this Wahoo team in terms of establishing confidence and swagger. You want to protect the home court. Virginia's 10-1 at home this season. Obviously, they reeled off the 8 straight wins, really starting to believe in itself. Well, hey, you lose to Wake Forest in a rather convincing fashion last week. Then if you come home and you lose to your rival in front of the home fans, I think it plants a seed of doubt in these guys. And you know, I hope that they could respond to that if it went that way. My hope is that it won't, and I don't think it will. I think it's going to be a great game. If you like scoring, you may not enjoy this one because both teams have been very defensive-minded to this point, both in the top three in terms of points allowed per game, but, you know, at least in the ACC. I think as different as these two coaches are, one similarity that they both have is it comes back to toughness, and that's what they both ask of their players. I think I heard Seth Greenberg say something to the effect that he's looking for the junkyard dog in his guys. Well, you hear Tony Bennett saying, leave the skin on the court. You know, let's let's get out there and give everything you can, and if you're going to win, you're going to win playing tough, and you're going to be resolute, and you're going to come with all the intensity you could ever ask for. So with that in mind, I think it's going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, I think it's a huge game, not only because it's Virginia Tech, but and it also should be a heck of an atmosphere tomorrow night in John Paul Jones. And I think part of it is the way the schedule shakes out. You got the game tomorrow night, then the road game against Carolina, but you come home next week for two home games against State and Wake. So you got a chance maybe at the halfway point of the ACC schedule to be 6-2, 5-3, and that really gives you a great opportunity in the second half of the season. But let me just ask you quickly about Calvin Baker. I know he's practicing again. Any light you can shed to our listeners on the Calvin Baker situation?
Well, you know, without going into too much detail, I think there was a little bit of a question in terms of attitude, that maybe it's difference of opinion when it comes to playing time, that kind of thing. I don't know specifically everything that's gone on, but I do know that they seemingly resolved things, and it looks like everything is going in the right direction. So, you know, I think that happens over the course of a season. One of the challenges as a coach is finding playing time for everybody. I mean, there's just only so much of it to go around, and you got to keep people happy. And I think that, you know, that's part of this process of this team coming together is recognizing their roles. And I think that that's happening for this team, and I think it continues. It's an ever-changing process, an evolving process, more accurately put, and I think that's going on as we speak. But, you know, the hope is that I think everything's been resolved and they're moving forward, onward and upward, so to speak.
You know, speaking of the broadcast earlier, Dave, what's it been like working with Corey Alexander? You know, he was a superstar when he played basketball at UVA, and then, you know, he went off to the NBA and played for a couple of teams and had some decent success, and now he's back and working in this capacity. What's it been like working with Corey?
Let me just give you a footnote here. Don't say anything negative about the person that preceded him.
I would never do that, Hobo. You know I'd never do that. Never had the chance to work with you myself, but it would be fun one day. But at any rate, with Corey, he's been a blast to work with. You know, he really has. He brings an insight that I think adds a whole other dimension to what we're doing, just with the experience that you talked about. He was obviously here during one of the better times in this program's history as a player and was one of the leaders of those teams in the mid and early 90s. And, you know, he brings some experience from the next level as well. And I think that's always fun. It's amazing. We go into these arenas, and it never ceases to amaze me, all the guys who come up to him. And he seems like he knows everybody in the game of basketball. I think the first time we played North Carolina, Roy Williams, first person that comes up while we're sitting there at press row, Corey, how you doing? How's everything going? You know, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, maybe this guy does know a few people. But he's been great, and I think he brings a lot of insight. We have a lot of fun working together. It's just been a lot of fun.
Well, Dave, we appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us tonight. Good luck with the broadcast tomorrow night. I hope everybody leaves. There'll probably be some hokey people there that I trust will leave unhappy, but I hope most of the Wahoo fans leave happy. We're looking forward to the game. And as I say, thanks for your time. We'll definitely do it again soon. And look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. Otherwise, folks, we will be back after these messages with our final segment of tonight's show.